In Ohio, recreational marijuana is still illegal. But if you hop on a plane for about 7 hours and land in Washington State, you can walk into the nearest pot dispensary and pick up something to relax for the weekend. Since the drug is still federally illegal, this poses many frustrating complications for Washington marijuana business owners and those tasked with regulating the industry. I'm Jessica Salerno, and welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs. In this episode, I spoke with Ohio Wesleyan University accounting professor Justin Breidenbaugh and assistant accounting professor Emily West. Professor Breidenbaugh has traveled around the world conducting academic research of the legalized marijuana industry for years. This past spring, he organized a group trip to Washington State for a select few students. The goal of the trip was to learn about different aspects of the industry and better understand the demands and needs on businesses and how accounting plays a role. The students met with cultivators, growers, processors, manufacturers, retail shops, and government regulators. We started out by Breidenbaugh telling me how the trip came to be. So where did the idea for the trip come from in the first place?
So the idea has really kind of been building in my head since I started my research and consulting work in the industry years ago. Once I eventually kind of got my footing in the industry and started to understand, you know, really the unique accounting aspects that I wasn't even aware was really there when I started touring facilities, my thought was this would be an amazing opportunity to get students involved to really think outside the box as accountants, deal with some real-world issues that you don't normally see in the textbooks or even just in a normal class environment through routine companies or businesses. So to me, it's kind of always been there over the years. It's been slow-moving just because I wanted to get comfortable with the industry. I wanted the university to also get comfortable with what I was doing and really understand that this was not meant to be us, you know, being opposed to an industry or also being a proponent for an industry, but really just analyzing it and understanding the business complications and accounting complications that come along with operating in this space.
So you had university funding for this?
Yeah, so we did have funding through the university in which we have, it's basically an internal grant program. So it's called Theory to Practice. And what that is it's a group of funds in which students throughout the entire university can apply throughout an academic year in which it's really geared around travel. So it's where students want an opportunity to go out into the world and really apply what they're learning in the classroom. So really put that theory into practice and actually see what's going on, get hands-on within their area of study. So I've done that before with other students. I did a trip to London years ago to study international accounting. I did a trip to Dublin, Ireland to study taxation and also some international accounting issues there. And then I also had the group that went to Australia last summer. So I was familiar with that grant process, and I had some students that approached me and said, you know, they were kind of interested in maybe getting hands-on with some of this research that I was doing. They thought it was really unique and different. So I said, sure, let's try it. Let's put in for these grant funds and see if the university will approve it. So it goes through a committee of other faculty on campus in which they review the proposals, and they rank the proposals throughout all the different departments. And this was one they saw a lot of merit with it and decided to approve it for funds. So the travel aspects, the flights, housing, food, rental car, gas, all that was paid through university grant funds.
Very cool. And how long were you guys gone?
Approximately a week. So we left on a Sunday, and then we got back on a Friday.
It looks like from the list you sent me this morning, you went to a lot of places. So the students were exposed to a lot of different sides of the industry. Can you tell me how you decided where you would visit and who you would talk to?
Yeah, so that was really the goal in the very beginning was I wanted a broad experience for the students. I didn't want it to be something where we were just visiting an accounting firm and talking to accountants, but I really wanted to visit actual people in the industry that are operating these companies. So what I found through my experience is every, I guess, piece of the industry from a vertical integration standpoint is very different in the way they operate. So the way a grower operates compared to a processor, compared to a retail shop, to a dispensary, you know, they all have very different rules they're dealing with. They have different accounting problems they're dealing with. So I wanted the students to have that broad range and that broad experience. So what I did was I reached out to a lot of my connections in Washington State and said, you know, I've got these students in which they've received funding to travel out and visit. Would anybody be willing to meet with them, talk with them, be open with them about the industry, about financial information, tax information, and then also allow them to tour operations to see what's going on? What I've always been amazed with it, and at this point it's kind of just, I'm used to it now, but I was still amazed with it again, is that everybody has been so open to these opportunities and really has sort of demanded, you know, there's this need that there's more academics and there's more students getting involved in this industry to understand all the various hurdles and really be future business leaders and future leaders in accounting to help, you know, the industry operate for whatever they need. So that was one thing that I want to kind of see that range for them. But a lot of people that I talked with said, absolutely, we would love to see you. When can you get out here? We will show the students anything and everything that they want to see. Nothing will be closed to them. I also emailed them the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board, who regulates the industry. They deal with licensing, a lot like the Ohio Department of Commerce does right now with our medical system that's getting up and running. So I wanted the students to meet with a regulator to even see, you know, what are these issues the regulators are dealing with and what are some of the hurdles that they've had to kind of figure out. And it was unique meeting with them that they even talked to the students a lot about the need for accountants, because there's really just no accountants in the industry, even in Washington State. So everybody was very open because they just thought it was amazing that a university was willing to fund students to actually come out and do sort of an objective look at the industry.
I was curious, from the locations that you listed, what were the educational aspects of the places you visited? There were retail shops that you guys went to, growers and processors, a B&B platform.
Yeah, I could talk about that. Maybe even Emily then can jump in also some of her takeaways from a management standpoint. You know, the big thing to understand, I think, with all these different entities was what are the tax ramifications that they're dealing with in terms of their operations, and how are they confronting that and dealing with those issues? Another big one which is out there, which is, you know, a big area in accounting, is the internal control structure. How are they safeguarding their inventory? How are these companies safeguarding their cash? How are they vetting employees? How are they training employees, especially in an industry that is brand new? It's not like there's other comparable industries that are out there or other comparable businesses that you can work off of. This is all very fresh. So the internal control structure was really big with everybody. I think some of the other pieces, too, was just talking about funding and not being able to utilize traditional banking resources. So how do these companies go out and get lending if they need to, you know, buy a significant amount of capital in terms of property, plant, equipment, you know, buildings, lands, machinery, whatever it might be. Also bringing on investors as equity owners, sort of what's the risk that those investors are taking on? How do you go out and really find those individuals and work with them to get comfortable with their investment and with the industry? So those are big areas that we looked at. Emily, what you want to maybe add? Anything else that I'm missing?
I guess just that each one of the different kind of levels of the industry, from the grower to the processor to the retail business, has their own unique challenges. So it was helpful to kind of expose the students to all of those levels to see how, you know, what issues are in each one of the individual kind of components of the industry and how they deal with those issues. And obviously as a grower, the internal controls for inventory are different than that of the processor, and same thing with the retail business. So kind of comparing those controls across all aspects of the industry allows students to kind of see the full picture of the industry instead of just one piece.
What were you hearing from students during the trip? What feedback were they giving you, like things they were surprised by, interested in, that kind of stuff?
So I, I think that the big surprise, in all honesty, was just physically being there in this type of space. You know, personally, I can speak to that, and maybe Emma can speak to it more because she's newer now to it. This is the first time for her. To me, being from Ohio, it was very uncomfortable in the beginning to all of a sudden, you know, have a door open and you're in a massive grow room where there's literally just pot plants everywhere. It's overwhelming, I think, to see that. You almost feel uneasy. You feel like that you're doing something incredibly wrong, that, you know, the police are going to come in and arrest you any moment. So I think that those are things that for the students, you know, we talk a lot about, and I try to discuss it with them, but you truly never can fully understand the experience until you're there. So I think that was one big one that to them, they were just surprised in the fact that it was getting over that uncomfortableness, which, you know, even asking questions, using certain terms to them was very different.
I spoke with Luke Tompkins, an OWU accounting major who graduated this past spring and went on the trip. I spoke with Luke over the phone about what he made of the trip and what surprised him about the culture and that uncomfortableness that Professor Breidenbaugh referenced. I apologize if the audio gets a little shaky at times. So what did you make of the actual trip itself?
It was surprisingly a lot of fun. Originally, I thought it would be one of those things where you kind of get put in the hazmat suit, walk around a giant facility or something along those lines where you've just shown, like, they say, all right, this is how we do it, this is this, do you have any questions? Kind of like a just someone, like, throwing it at us and saying, like, yeah, we gave them a tour, whatever, we're going to get back to work type thing. But every place we visited, we usually got to talk to someone who really actually had control over the systems they were talking about, like someone high up on the ladder, I guess it would be a good way to put it. And we actually, every place we visited, they ended up, being extremely surprised with your students, and B, the fact that the school, even though it wasn't like direct research funding, the fact that the school funded this through what's called a theory to practice grant, so it did have the school's name on it, blew them away, because even universities out in Washington State, maybe they've changed it since we've been there, but they weren't, faculty weren't allowed to talk, research, or have anything to do with the cannabis industry out there.
What was most enjoyable about the trip to you?
Enjoyable in terms of research content or enjoyable in terms of the trip itself, like the place we visited?
Let's do research first.
Research content, I would guess when we ended up speaking to the LCB, the Liquor and Cannabis Board of Washington State, getting their perspective on that state and federal law issue I talked about was probably the most enjoyable talk we had the entire time. It was also, I mean, fitting government work, the most cut and dry in terms of, like, here's the facts, here's what it is. But once we actually got speaking with them, once, like, the slides were over, that type of thing, it was really fun talking to them. They were seeing really invested in figuring out how this industry was working and what was going on and what they can do better. They focused a lot on learning from Prohibition, which I thought was really interesting, and, like, slowly bringing the industry, like, as it grows, like, changing how they regulate it and tax it. Again, that issue of state versus federal, getting their perspective. Hold on, motorcycle. Sorry about that. Getting their perspective on the issues that they face as a state board that is dealing with tax revenues from a Schedule I illegal drug was really cool. I hope this isn't too much, but a little snippet from that was really interesting, the fact that they ended up explaining to us, look, if, say, a federal agency came after, started prosecuting people in Washington State for dealing in illegal drugs, they don't think it's going to happen, or at least they don't hope, but worst-case scenario, say it happens, it's not like they can go out and protect people. If anything, one of the first people that would be prosecuted or shut down by a federal agency would actually be the LCB, since their tax revenues come from an illegal drug. It was like hearing them say, like, look, realistically, most of us are invested in making this work, even if they have personal feelings against using the drug. It's legal, people voted for it, and they're doing their best to make sure the state's populist best interest in mind, but they would be also prosecuted on some level because it is illegal, still federally, and federal law trumps state law. A lot of people, they said, even like industry leaders don't really understand that. They think the state's going to stand behind them and the citizens will back them up. And it's like, look, the way our country works, federal laws overrule state laws. That's just it. But they also pointed out later that the federal laws, federal government has made like statements, like there's a whole statement or something that might have actually been recently rescinded, but they made statements in the past where they said, look, we're not going to go out and prosecute either way. Here's some, one, we haven't legalized yet, here's some ground rules which you should probably look into and try to best emulate when you're enforcing this drug.
When I was talking with Professor Breidenbaugh, he mentioned how it was kind of unnerving to be in that environment, especially coming from a place where marijuana isn't recreationally legal. Was this something that you kind of felt while going around these facilities? Was it almost like, this feels wrong to be in here?
I thought it was more interesting just how open everyone was about it. It was, I mean, one of the best examples, I guess, in terms of like casual usages, some of the retail shops we ended up going to, you had white collars workers coming in on their lunch hour to buy their equivalent of like, or a normal equivalent of like a glass of bottle of wine for the weekend. They came in, make a quick stop, purchase what they needed and left. It's much more casual over there. I think the biggest shock wasn't the fact that we went there and it was so open. It was, if anything, it was just interesting. It was like, wow, like the fact that there's a tray here worth $20,000 in product just sitting there and it's not a big deal to everyone who's working here kind of blows my mind, because it's not like, I mean, it's like the size of a pizza box and it's worth $20,000 and there's 20 of these stacked in the corner and it's a giant warehouse full of stuff like this. That's more what blew my mind. That's the amount of inventory they have, the scale of it. I think the more unnerving fact is coming back to a state where it's illegal, and now I have all this knowledge, and let's be honest, it was like we got thrown a ton of information at us. I feel like I know a lot more than most people do, and I feel much more comfortable talking about the topic. I think that's the most awkward and weird part, is how comfortable I feel now talking about it. And then you can have other people, like, I don't know, maybe someone who's a bit older, if you mention cannabis, weed, or those words, they look bug-eyed in a public space, that type of thing. That's definitely more of the put-off. It's kind of like, I feel like some people just aren't even talking about the topic. It's not the fact that it's illegal here still that throws me off. I think it's the fact that how the different vibes people get when you bring up the topic itself.
Another student who went on the trip was Rachel Resnick, a senior who is a double major in accounting and politics and government. Here's what she had to say. So what did you find most interesting about the trip?
I guess my favorite part of the trip was just, like meeting these people. Like, they're so passionate about their, like, what they do in their industry, and a lot of them have, like, really cool backstories. So, like, the people really just made the trip worth it for me. Like, I got to know and see so many different facilities and plants, and like everybody was just really professional about everything and just really like unique personalities and people that I guess I like will hopefully keep in contact with and see how their like businesses are growing and how they're doing and stuff. They just like, it was just like I connected really on a personal level with a lot of these people.
Was there anything about the trip that surprised you?
I think like the complications and like everyday things they have to deal with. So we met with one guy and he was talking about how, like, every day he has to check his email because, like, a new legislation passes or, like, a new regulation comes out. And it's just, like, it's so much work for them. And it's, like, constantly, like, keeping themselves up to date and, like, knowledgeable on what they're doing. I thought that was really surprising.
Professor Breidenbaugh talked about how this trip allowed the students to see past any stigma that might be associated with the marijuana industry and see it for what it is, a growing business with pain points trying to be sustainable.
A lot of what you talked about, though, I think overall was just the fact that once we start seeing these businesses, to them it was, it's not to normalize it or make it good or bad or anything, but they start to see this as a normal business in a way. I hate to use the word normal because it is obviously federally illegal, but they saw it as a business, you know, where they have employees, they're paying the employees a reasonable wage, the employees have benefits. They're wanting to make sure the employees are working in a safe environment, the employees are happy. They want to make sure they're creating a product that is, I'll use safe as a relative term, but, you know, a safe product for their consumers. They're dealing with the same business issues that anybody else is in terms of how do we distribute our product, how do we cut costs, how do we maintain profitability. So I think that was maybe a surprise for some of them also, that the verbiage and terminology and the business procedures, it was the same as really any other business. It was the same types of issues, but they just can't use traditional business resources that other companies maybe have access to. So there's a lot of creative thinking that has to happen of how do they get this, how does the industry make these things happen when a lot of doors are shut. Emily, maybe you want to talk about your experience and just your thoughts initially when you were there too, because for you it was very new.
Yeah, I was, obviously this was my first experience in the industry as well, and it was kind of eye-opening, the when we went to the first operation, just because it was so, it was a massive business, and I guess I wasn't expecting anything, you know, to be, any business to be that large in the industry, but it was, like Justin was just saying, they are, you know, they're using the same terminology. It is just like a normal business, so to speak, and, you know, hearing these business people talk about the industry was really eye-opening to me. I wasn't expecting that. I think the other aspect for the students that was kind of really took them off guard was the how the businesses handle cash, because that is a significant problem for businesses in this industry. So it was interesting to kind of hear all the different perspectives on how they handle that and creative ways they get around those issues. But yeah, it was definitely an eye-opening experience, and definitely uncomfortable at first being from Ohio and the state of the industry in Ohio. So getting over that stigma and just kind of understanding the environment in Washington was kind of the first hurdle, but it was very interesting.
I know that you both have touched on this in some of your answers, but why do you think this trip was so valuable for the students to get exposure to something like this?
For me personally, it's a couple things. I think one is not just the industry alone, but it gets the students to think creatively. It gets them to see complex business issues that they're not used to, that they're not, again, they just can't get that out of a textbook. So to me, that was great to be able to allow them to build on their critical thinking skills and look at problems from various angles and think about all the different issues. Another piece, I think, professionally is obviously Ohio has now legalized for medical purposes. So it's something that is here in the state of Ohio. There are businesses that are currently structuring and setting up, and there's going to be more businesses in the coming months that are operating in this industry. The one thing that we found out in Washington, and the comment that came up over and over again from everybody we met with, is there is just no supply or very little supply of accountants in this industry. They are really thirsty for that resource, and they want that resource there. And to them, having that accounting resource available in terms of personnel is just going to strengthen their business, and it's going to strengthen the industry, and it's going to strengthen a regulated industry. So I think from Ohio, that's kind of how I view it, is just like anything, whether you're an auditor, whether you're in tax, whether you're internal to a business, one of the first things we talk about in accounting is you should understand the industry that you're in. You should really understand the business, not just the nuts and bolts accounting, but the overall business environment and the culture for your client or for your company. And to me, this was a way to give them that first step that if they would ever want to enter this industry or they ever work with a client in this industry, they now have that knowledge that just is not available to other accountants in Ohio. So when a lot of accountants in Ohio are going to deal with this in the coming months or years, they're never going to have seen any of this stuff before. It's going to be very fresh to them, where now you have some students that are going out into the professional workforce that actually have a little bit of experience there. So again, I think it's twofold. I think one is the critical thinking. It just gets them to challenge that. And the other is to get experience in an industry that is very new, but is also current in the state of Ohio.
Thanks again to Professor Breidenbaugh and everyone at Ohio Wesleyan for sharing their experiences with us. We'll continue to update you on the impact the marijuana industry will have on Ohio businesses and CPAs. As always, follow us on social media. You can find the links to our channels in the episode description. If you like the podcast, tweet at us and let us know. Or even better, tell someone else you know to listen. And send me your thoughts on this episode or an idea for a future podcast at jsalerno, J-S-A-L-E-R-N-O, at ohiocpa.com. Thanks for listening.